in saying that gold and silver mining companies are also managed by the cartels. And so therefore, the cartels have a stronger grip on the miners as opposed to the metals, because the technical trends are indicating definitive breakout. So there's more momentum on gold, which is physical buying, on silver, which is gold rotating into silver, versus the miners, there's well-documented naked shorts, of which the cartels have stepped better control. And part of that reason is because mining companies are such a small universe. You know, like I said, the Bill Gates, they're not dangling on junior miners or mining companies. And so that was an indicator that the retail participation of mining companies are still at a very, very low level. But there are institutional interests that's positioning into particularly gold and silver mining companies, but that's largely through participation of equity direct financing, private placements.
John Lee, Silver Elephant, Cleantech, CTV, CEO. Good morning, or I should say good evening to you, my friend. How are you?
Great, doing fine. Thanks for the invite and great to be back on your show. I think it's been almost a year and a half. Something like that.
It's been way too long. So last time we talked, it was a great conversation about the silver market. I want to say silver is in the low 20s at the time. And you were saying that you're on record as saying it's going to go much higher, and that the powers that be, if you would, they were losing a hold on the market. Work that out for a little bit for me. Where have we come from? And do you see suppression still in the silver market? And where are we going?
Andy, when I come on your show, that was in May of 2024, I believe silver just was under $30 and gold was at below $2,800. At that time, I speculated that gold was going to make a run to 2,800, and that was my short-term target for gold. And the silver was destined to take out $35 to embark on the $50 level. In hindsight, if we were to sort of review what we talked about vis-a-vis what's happening, is gold has actually performed better than I anticipated. Not only did it go straight up to 2,800 since we talked, but it hovered around 2,800 and right to 3,500. And where silver, I'd have thought I would have taken out $35 level in 2024 by September of 2024, but it's actually taken quite a bit longer until just recently in May of 2025, that silver has definitively taken out the $35 level. Allow me to revisit my thoughts on gold. It is, I was just coming on another show a couple of days ago. I think it's exceeding, other than the perma gold bull, of all the expectations of sort of a objective analyst. I mean, it's outperforming all base metals, it's outperforming oil, and this is in spite of cooling of geopolitics in the Middle East and as well as the war in Ukraine. And there are not any special situations where there's no banking crisis. The stock markets are making all-time high across the world. And now gold is in an element of its own. It's defying rising dollar, falling dollar. It's rising across all markets, open from Asia to London to New York. And earlier this year, I would have thought that gold, given gold's strong performance from 1800, not even 3 years ago, to already doubled. And that gold was stayed at around $3,200 to $3,500 level, which is that 200-day moving average hovering around for the rest of the year. But little do we know that in less than 6 months in this year, that after gold reached out to $3,400, now gold is already taken out $3,400. And just 3 days ago, I said it's going to go to $3,800, and now it was $3,500. It's already near $3,800. So we are... My belief is gold is going to take out $3,800 with ease, and then from there we're going to be potentially entering into a blow off phase. For silver, my view on that is I think there are a lot of silver bugs that are on the sideline waiting for gold to correct, and that's why there's not a lot of enthusiasm and momentum on silver, and that provided some relief to the price managers. It's called out now the cartels. But then in May of this year, 4 months ago, it is quite clear to all the it's quite clear to all the investors that gold is not going to revisit 3,000 below 3,000 again. So the two things that was holding silver back, one is people waiting for a correction in gold and waiting to see where silver might land up, because the historical norm is when gold gets whacked, silver goes down twice as much. So so that element is out of the way. And then the other element is there was a very slowdown in the Chinese economy, which by large in purposes, in their real estate markets collapsed. And so a big element of silver speculation was removed from the equation. And now the Chinese economy, the central sort of the central planners, the CPP are looking to reflate the economies in China again. And so there is a policy change started about 2 years ago. And so and now silver is, as I mentioned, I think our last show, that it's going to start outperforming gold, which is what we're witnessing right now. And looking forward, there's no stopping of gold, and which means that the ratio of gold to silver ratio is going to start to decline. And at an average ratio of 70 to 1 gold to silver, then gold silver got to be already at 50. But every time towards sort of the end of a rally, at least in the intermediate run, the gold to silver ratio usually was settled at around 50. So at a 50 gold to silver ratio, and I say a $4,000 gold, you'll be looking at $80 silver imminently in the next, I would say, 3 to 6 months.
Wow, that's a huge call, and that's pretty awesome, I guess, for all the silver holders here. What's your expectation with the miners? And I say all this is you are a CEO of a mining company, and I'll just get straight to this, just your background as I know you. What I like to you about you is you marry a lot of the fundamentals, if you would, macro analysis, if you would. You talked about central bank printing. And also you're a CEO of a company, and you're also a trader and an entrepreneur. So you're very well-rounded here. My question really is that is a big call, and one that I could absolutely see happening. Is it just because the powers that be, the people that have their thumb on the scale, if you would, or suppressors, if you would, that's probably a better word, they're losing their grip on the silver market?
Well, you touched a couple of points, Andy. First of all, if you look at historically, every time gold is taken out $35, it goes to 50 in weeks, not months, in weeks. Right. So what I'm hypothesizing is actually based on empirical evidence, and that gold based on the gold at $3,500. Remember, last time silver went to 50, gold was 800, and so therefore it's not entirely out of the question. Relatively speaking, on what's happening around the world, that silver at 50 is actually undervalued. And historically, if you look at the two major runs in 1980, gold went from 15 to 50 in less than 3 weeks. And again, in 2011, almost 14 years ago, silver went from 20 to 50 in less than 3 weeks. The reason for gold and silver's run-up, let's talk about gold first, is it's not so much the world's losing confidence of the dollar, but rather I think for an objective observer, it's quite clear to see that some people are, you can see that they're clear, the world is falling into a two-tier system. It's what I call the king and the peasants. The king actually controlled the printing press. As Elon Musk discovered, that the 14 printing press, one at Department of Defense, one at Department of Treasury, one at Social Security. And Andy, my question is, who knows how many printing presses are actually there? Who designed the program? Is it running on a Mac or is it on a PC? You know, who write the software, right? So, I mean, those are questions that should be asked, but nobody dared to ask. But it's very clear to me that the economies of the world are very slow moving, and they're anemic in growth. But you're looking at breakout of equity markets all around the world. So, let's just call it the plunge protection team are buying world equities via printing press, and they're buying world real estate as well. And that's why you see that the most expensive real estate continue to go in prices, but yet the mid-tier housing market is suffering. And the reason gold and silver go up, part is this printing prices now they're going on without abandon. And the secondly is these billionaires and centi-billionaires trying to circumvent the micro mandates, which is central bank digital currency. You like it or not, it's going to come. Starting the euro rollout before 2028, likely by the end of next year, and that's going to roll out eventually to the dollar. So eventually, CBDC, you'll be mandated on. You'll be told what to shop, when to shop, and where to shop. And you'll be given a 1,000 kilos of carbon for the year. And if you were to take a vacation from Asia to New York, just one way is 1,000 kilos, and you'll be eating tofu the rest of the year. So this is the way they will mandate. And you know what? Think about your favorite vacation in Santorini, or your favorite restaurant in New York, or your favorite hangout in Paris. It will be like a Michelin club only. It doesn't even matter how much money you have, because the king is so sick and tired of being sandwiched by the Chinese, by the Indians for their vacations, for their, you know, they just don't want to be part of that jargon. And that's also part of the reason why gold is run out in DeFi and being the maverick leading the pack, because it is the only metal with liquidity. Like the platinum, the palladians and silvers and whatever metals, they don't have that liquidity to absorb the appetite of, say, a Jeff Bezos. And you have the Koch brother, you have the Elon Musk's, you have all the other Zara's chairman, you have all the Dubai people. So, I mean, these are trillions of dollars deployable capital trying to stay away from these micro mandates. And that's why you're seeing this very interesting run. We're not even near the top of the market. I think gold can easily go to $6,000 sometime in the next 2 years. And then if you do, again, looking at the historical patterns of how precious metal behaved, say in 1980, from 1971, when Nixon severed the gold window, gold fell from 30 to 800 in 10 years. So that's 25X. And then if you look at, say, the real bull market starting in year 2000, even though there's not a gold window that's being broken, but there's an implicit gold window in terms of the cartel managing the market. So if you were to multiply the bottom of the bull market starting in 2000 at 250 an ounce, then you multiply by that 25, you're looking at around 6,000. So there's a lot of different potential scenarios that can play out. But we're not near the goal. We're not near the top of the market. When you are near the top of the market, you're going to see $100, $200 daily movement in gold up and down. You're going to see gold mining companies going berserk. And we're not near that. If you look at, say, silver mining companies, as an example, the likes of First Majestic are still trading a third of what they were back in 2021. And some U.S.-centric producers like Hecklag and Coeur d'Alene, they have broken out, but they're like, you know, 30% from there. I don't think they're maybe either broken out all-time high or at near all-time high, but you're not seeing the multiples that you're supposed to be getting as a lever play to gold and silver.
I have two questions about all that. And Steve, feel free to jump in. You travel around the world often, especially, and I'm please correct me if I'm wrong, being in Asia. Are you seeing a lot of Asian buying in the metal markets, or what is the feeling, if you would, over there? And the second, you are a CEO of a publicly traded company. Are you starting to see money flow into the miners from bigger players and even retail investors?
I have to convince my mother, who's 80 years old, to buy gold and silver, and we call the local bullion dealers at Kitco in Taiwan. There's plenty of inventories available. So the concept of Asians sort of going after gold and silver is a bit of an antiquated phenomenon, but there is not a whole lot of retail participation from where I see. And then if you look at, again, the dispensable, so discretionary deployment of deployable capital around the world is very, very small from the retail. And it goes back to what I was talking about, the two-tier system. You have people that have access to the printing press. They're buying either directly printing or borrowing, whatever mechanism you want to call it. They have unlimited access to capital. And this, and you have then the peasants, the middle class, they're struggling to pay their credit card debts and their mortgages, which is 8%. So all the middle classes around the world are no different. And this debt binge was by design that lasted for 20 years, where they get you hooked on morphine at 1% interest rate. This is all by design, and they're pulling the plug from underneath you. This is all by design. That's why the Feds are not lowering interest rates. And the 30-year trading at 5%, even though oil is at $60. Can you imagine back in the days when there's a whiff of war, right? Not saying that there are already two or three going on right now. The Fed would immediately cut, but yet the Feds are not cutting. And remember back in the days also when oil was 100, went to 120, and the Fed was saying that, oh, there's a band of room, right? There's a room like inflation is transitory. And they're looking at all the different reasons to cut rates and not to raise rates. But now we're looking for every reason to raise rates, but not to cut rates. And so that's first. And secondly, in terms of interest in silver mining companies, for gold and silver mining companies, there are definitely now interest resume. So there's a lot of capital raising in gold and silver miners, but other base metals, not as much. There's some other specialty metals, which we can talk about later. But this is institution positioning. You're not seeing crazy retail actions and equity shares performance. Like, for example, right? Like silver is up at $43, and again, if you look at silver miners, you know you still see some that silver is up, and then gold mining companies, silver mining companies are down. I want to preface though in saying that gold and silver mining companies are also managed by the cartels, and so therefore the cartels have a bit stronger grip on the miners as opposed to the metals, because the technical trends are indicating definitive breakout. So there's more momentum on gold, which is physical buying, on silver, which is gold rotating into silver, versus the miners, there's well-documented naked shorts, of which the cartels have stepped better control. And part of that reason is because mining companies are such a small universe. You know, like I said, the Bill Gates, they're not dangling on junior miners or mining companies. And so that was an indicator that the retail participation of mining companies are still at a very, very low level, but there are institutional interests that's positioning into particularly gold and silver mining companies, but that's largely through participation of equity, direct financing, private placements.
Got it. Do you see potential then money? So you'd see continued money flow, or I should say money flow back into the miners here, that they have to catch up to the underlying asset, correct?
Of things, this run-up right now reminds me even more of the run-up in the early 2000s when the bull market just started. It's very orderly, it's quite selective, and it's not indiscriminate. Like, you know, it's not like you're just throwing money right in the space. So it's not like a knee jerk back in 2011 after the financial crisis, or 2021 after the COVID crisis. So that tells me again that this run is a little bit different from these knee-jerk rallies, speculative rallies. So it could go on for months and years. Nobody knows, because we're in complete uncharted territory right now. Mm-hmm. I like the market, because the equity market is broken at all-time high in the Nikkei, the Nasdaq, the S&P. So and you have an administration that's not so, you know, a bit more predictable, but likes deficit spending. So they're all, and then also he wants interest rate low. And so that will put, so all these conditions are very conducive for further rally in gold and silver. Gold and mining, gold and silver mining company will continue to play catch up. I would say we're probably the fourth inning or the third inning. We're not even the seventh or the eighth. Mm-hmm. The way the run up, right now it's still a very specialized subset of investors. Unfortunately, I'm 51 years old. I got into the space when I was 30, and the mentors and the people I look up to already kicked the bucket. So there's a void to be filled, and they're not catching up to that yet. Eventually, gold and silver companies have to deliver dividends and have to deliver earnings. Right now, gold silver company, even at $40, they have a lot of pent up. They still have a lot of laggard exploration expenses they have to incur, and then the gold mining companies are starting only to deliver good dividends, but based on the dividend to earning ratio, based on this PE ratio, the dividend to valuation ratio, you're not looking at doubling of gold prices from here, so miners from here, and which means that gold has and silver have to go a lot higher for the dividend seeker to kick in into the space. Right now it's still quite a while to go. I don't think you're gonna get a dividend people to come in until gold's well into the 4,000s, mid 4,000, and silver well past 50, Andy, for the miners to catch it, to have a lid of the fire of the mining companies.
Got it.
John, I've got a couple of questions. First of all, you said that in terms of the top of the market, we're nowhere close. You said that you're not gonna be there until you see these mining companies going berserk, is what you said. Could you illustrate what that going berserk looks like, so I'm aware, so our listeners are aware of what to look out for? And also, the second question I have is, you said silver, I forget the numbers you gave, but like you're projecting within months. If you can kind of expand on that a little bit, and why they wrap such rapid increase.
Let's go on silver first. In May of 20, about 4 months ago, if you were to go to my Twitter, you can just search John Lee Silver Elephant. I said this is the best time to buy silver because I was seeing a very clear rotation of gold money into silver money. And the reason I mentioned that is that people realize gold is not going below 3,000, and silver is going to have to, the catch up for silver is starting. So at that time that you're seeing gold that were down, the dollar's up, but silver is up. Usually it's the opposite. Silver bugs run for the exit as soon as it's a whip of problems, like an equity correction or a dollar up days or gold down days. So from their point, it's like, wow, silver run is ready. And if you look at historical technical trends, every time silver taken off $35, you go to $50 in a hurry. So this is all based on historical projections and then based on gold to silver ratio. Of which now with the equity market broken out, which means that there is a more risk appetite than the greed appetite than risk appetite. When I talk about risk, meaning that if there's a war, people favor gold, but when there's greed, people favor silver. So you can see more speculation in silver. And that's why it's my call to $50 this year, especially when we're entering into a traditional strong season. But remember, silver only went to $50 briefly for like one or two days. So that top is very symbolic. And you can only call the topping high side. And that's what I say. If gold to go to 3,800 and at a historical gold to silver ratio that silver peaks, then that would be ratio of 50 to 30 at a $50 gold to silver ratio at a $4,000 gold, you're looking at $80 silver. And at a $30 gold to silver ratio and at a $4,000 gold, you're looking at $130 silver. So after silver go to $50, you really don't know, Steve, what's going to happen next. And then when you talk about, so how would you know the top of the market? It's more psychological than fundamentals. And that's why it's top of the market. So you got to have people, you got to see mainstream coverage of gold and silver mining companies on CNBC, on Wall Street Journal. You're going to see daily movement of gold in $100 to $200 range, and you're gonna see equal downside and upside in $100 plus. And then you're gonna see the top of the market, and then afterwards, you're gonna see for gold, for example, for the metal, or even for mining companies, you're gonna see a top, and then you're gonna see a lot of volatilities, but you never see the further tops in the market will be lower. So you're gonna see lower highs and maybe lower lows. So that would be like some sort of descending channel. But right now what we're seeing is ascending channel, Stephen. And even though gold and silver has had run up, but the action is quite orderly. You're not seeing like 20% up today, tomorrow, the day after. When you look at the top of the market, which you can look at, say an example of 2020, 2011 and 2021, the like is First Majestic would double. Even for big mining companies would double in price in 1 or 2 weeks. What we're seeing now is not bad. And I think there's a lot of other anecdotal evidence of that. I will come on your program, Stephen and Andy, when I feel that, we may be 20% from the top. You never know. The top is always established in hindsight.
Yeah. John, talk to me about, and again, you're involved in a few different projects here, and you're in Asia. Talk to me about why are you in Asia and the different projects you're in, and why are you in them?
Andy, I come to the show. First of all, just give a recap of silver since our talk 14 months ago. And back in May, I told investors, you can see my Twitter, at $35, you want to buy silver and you just want to stash it away. And right now we're only up 20%. I think we have at least another 20% to go. The reason for coming on the show is to share this special situation with this critical mineral called fluorspar, which is F-L-U-O-R-S-P-A-R. And fluorspar is the native form on Earth to extract fluorine, which is a essential critical minerals. And you know, when I first heard about it, Andy, a year ago, what is fluorine? Is that like some fertilizer? It's because I was in China promoting our silver project, and all the Chinese talk about is fluorspar. Fluorspar price has gone up 500% since the bull market started in 2000. Yeah, people don't know about it because it's kind of like rare earth. You know, people know about magnets, but they don't know rare earth. People don't know about fighter jets, but they don't know rare earth. So it's kind of like lithium. People know lithium for batteries, but they don't know rare earth. People know about people know about nuclear. They know about uranium. They don't know about rare fluorspar. So fluorspar is an essential ingredient in nuclear enrichment, in EV battery electrolyte. They enable the movement of sodium and lithium ions, and also it's a fluxing agent for steel and aluminum production. So that creates that layer, protection layer from further oxidation. And then last but not least is fluorine is used for etching of semiconductors and to be able to imprint your patterns on the wafers. And China is running out of fluorspar based on my research in the past year. And that's why fluorspar and silver is all I was looking at in the last 12 months. China has 50 years of rare earth inventory left in China, but they have less than 5 years of fluorspar. And the situation was started in year 2022 when China became a net importer of fluorspar from being an exporter. And since the COVID lockdown restrictions were removed, and now they started going outbound and go after all the different fluorspars that's available, especially in Africa. So China and Mongolia control 70% of the fluorspar, 70%. And all the fluorspar in Mongolia is going into China, and China is not getting enough. And the only other player is Mexico, which controls 10% of the fluorspar supply. And this is where Mexico is giving that fluorspar to America, to Canada, to Korea, to Japanese, to everywhere else in the world. And we are having a literal land grab right now of all the Asian countries and that need fluorspar, and they couldn't get from China anymore. There are only two fluorspar mining companies listed on the North American Stock Exchange, and one of them is CleanTech CTV. The symbol is CTV on the TSX Ventures. We took us a year to get hold of this Kentucky Illinois fluorspar district that historically produced 90% of the fluorspar in the United States. The production stopped in 1980 because Chinese flooded fluorspar into the market. The American consumption of fluorspar is at 500,000 tons. But in order to fulfill Donald Trump's dream of batteries, of nuclear, of artificial intelligence, semiconductors, steel and aluminum plants, it's going to need four times that amount. But even at 2 million tons per year, it's still a third of what Chinese is consuming. And guess what? The world doesn't even have a million excess. So we are entering into a direct collision of the supply and demand. And I am seeing it's exact identical replay of rare earth. Nobody talked about rare earth a year ago. And the rare earth project that was bankrupt a year ago now is trading at $10 billion market cap. And the American government is throwing $1 billion to get that rare earth project started in California. The project's recycled twice already, going through two bankruptcies. And I think we caught on the last bus for CleanTech to now have a dominant position in this historical Kentucky, Illinois fluorspar belt. We spent $4 million, put on deposit for we have an option to earn $6 million worth of four smart projects over 20 distinct deposits strategically located in all the major four smart trends in this district. That's 100 miles by 100 miles. It is the Carlin equivalent for gold in Nevada for four smart. So the stock has gone up already four times, but it's still trading around $15 million market cap, much shy of our competitors in Australia that's trading at $200 million. So Americans are late to the game, but I think this inflection epiphany moment is going to come already, and the stock's already started to catch up.
Really, spoken like a true entrepreneur, seeing you got involved in silver because you saw the opportunity and the potential doing something about it. And now you see the opportunity. I'll say fluorspar, but also for all our viewers and listeners, I would say rare earths, seeing the opportunity there and doing something about it. Correct. So, John.
Check this out. I think, like I said, usually I don't come on the program, you know, pounding my chest, but it is a situation, or is an opportunity I have not seen such a bull market, such a strong case I have never seen in my 25 years of career in mining. So we've staked on it. Insiders are buying. The company is still have cash in the bank, no debt. American-centric investors with mineral rights that had existed. These mineral rights existed for more than 200 years. So it's a rock solid investment case for your audience to look into.
Yeah, give me the website of both companies and give me the ticker symbols again, and we'll put it in the show notes, both on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple.
Yeah, certainly. The company's name is CleanTech. It's actually called CleanTech Vanadium. It still has a vanadium project in Nevada. And the symbol is CTV. It's a Charlie Television and Vision. And the URL is cleantechctv.com. The other company we have is a Silver Elephant. That's in Bolivia. Unfortunately, a key license of key silver license of our project in Bolivia was canceled by the government, and we're looking to restate that. The reason for the cancellation was illegal mining, but nobody's yet to produce any evidence of illegal mining. And so it's a very strange and interesting situation that we're looking to ratify. Hopefully we'll have update for Silver Elephant investors very soon.
Excellent. John, love to have you on again soon instead of 14 months. I'd like to have you on again in the next month or two, if that's okay with you. John, how can people follow you?
Once silver takes out 50, it could be a couple of months away.
It really could. Also, we'll put on your Twitter handle. Hey, John, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate all of your insights and your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Steve.
You bet.